Jax Gregory, sweet young thing behind the glass there, Meredith Kane in the 2020s, and across from me on this most monumentous game three. We are on the eve of the game, 1 hour to go. My boy, my dude, my ride or die, Jonathan Peterlin. How you doing, buddy?
Hello, Nick. Are we going to do a hump day?
Oh, wait. Are you asking if we're going to do a hump day? As a little test, and you passed the test. Yeah.
What, remembering that it was hump day?
Yes. Because usually, either Kayla and or I forget, and then just randomly in the first segment, we got to throw that bad boy in there, and it catches the other person who also forgot off guard. Not today. Not getting anything by you today.
Only thing that was on my mind. Happy to be the safety net today, and we've got a loaded show.
Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of guest action. I don't know who broke this microphone, but I want to punch him square in the giblets. Like, I'm so annoyed.
It almost hit you in the nose.
It did. I'm like having to hold this like I'm like a crooner of some sort. Somebody busted this, and it wasn't me, because I would own up to it.
Could be a good Nick talk. Radio fails.
Who did it?
No. Not like, no, we don't need like a deep dive investigative reporting on who messed up the microphone. No. It's you getting hit in the microphone, in the nose with the microphone, and then playing that back.
So I'm furious about this, but obviously Browns did speak to the media days as they finally kind of get ready for this next game. It's going to happen on Sunday one way or another. We heard from Deshaun today. We heard from Kevin Stefanski. We're gonna listen to some of that sound later in the show. But right now, to start the show, we are all Guardians, all Tigers, game three in Detroit, 1 hour's time. And can I just tell you, the playoffs have officially begun, right? Both teams have got a win. Both teams have got a loss. And you've got an opportunity, if you're the Guardians today, to answer every single thing that has been said since you lost game two, whether that's Jose Ramirez, whether that's Emmanuel Clase. This is where we find out whether the Guardians are really a championship team. And I'm so excited to find out, even if the nerves are just a little bit, it's a lot tinged with nerves.
Yeah, I made the mistake of listening to a lot of Detroit sports talk radio. That's my bad.
Detroit?
That's my bad. They're comparing the Kerry Carpenter homer to the Maglio in 06 homer.
They didn't go Kirk Gibson, though?
He did get some run. He did get some run, if we're being honest about it. No, Maglio in 06, the ALCS game four, the walk-off home run that then sent him to the World Series. That's what they're talking about with the Kerry Carpenter blast. I heard caller after caller get after the Guardians' body language, which I didn't know that was a bad thing. Did any of us see poor Guardians' body language?
They lost the game.
And then they're saying the Guardians are terrified.
So you're saying
the Guardians are terrified right now in Detroit.
So you're saying after Kerry Carpenter hit a mammoth three-run home run off Emmanuel Clase,
they didn't all just sit there and party?
The Guardians didn't like just rip lines and just like go crazy on it and go parkour on everything? Let me tell you, this series is over.
Definitely a damned if you do, damned if you don't moment, right? Like in that instance, if you're like Jimenez, you have to put your head down and be like, dang it, that stunk. And you certainly can't be like, it didn't faze me at all. But then it does bring in the question, though. Like, we haven't seen the Guardians get punched in the face like that. How do they respond to something like that? Where it feels like all of Detroit believes that it's a team of destiny. They think this is a movie that's being made right now. And if you're a Tiger player right now, you're probably buying into that as well. Like, how do the Guardians respond to this?
Yeah, and it's so funny. It's the opposite of where we were going into the second game with Detroit. It was like, you lost game one. So how do you respond? And they responded with pretty silent bats up until Kerry Carpenter hit the damn thing to Euclid.
Yeah.
So like, the Guardians have more playoff experience because a lot of these guys were on that 2022 team, if only by a couple games. So I expect the Guardians to come out. Listen, if the Guardians are a championship team, let's put it this way.
They have the same number of postseason series wins then, because the Guardians won the series against the Rays, and then this Tigers team beat the Astros. Like, they have the same number of postseason series wins.
Yeah, but not wins overall, because remember, you played the Yankees to five. This is game three.
Yeah,
I'm splitting hairs. I understand.
It's, I don't know that that's a massive advantage, but go ahead.
I mean, I think any bit of playoff experience is some sort of advantage, but it's not really what we're going to argue about today. But I do think if you're a championship team, this is the game you come back out and you do what you did in game one, which is you hop on them early, take advantage of the chaos by A.J. Hinch, and you don't let them settle in.
We talked gambling before the show. I have no idea. I've known you for eight and a half years. You don't play poker at all, do you?
No, I'm awful at it. No. That was very defensive.
Because you can't lie. Is that what it is?
I'm not Abraham Lincoln, but yeah, I'm awful at lying.
Okay, so in poker, there's definitely a moment where you become on what they call a full tilt. Mm-hmm. Okay, where you, like, the moment that you start, you get a little sweaty, you lost a couple hands, mm-hmm. and then you just stop playing your type of game because you feel like you're up against it. I feel like this Guardians team is impervious to that. I feel like they're not the type of team to get on full tilt. The bet today would be the idea that they're not the type of team that gets punched in the face and then wilts and then understands they're up against it. I just haven't seen that from them all year.
Well, and if they are, it's telling. Like, and listen, like,
yeah, yeah.
We're hoping the answer is if you get punched in the face, you get up, you wipe your face off, and you punch them back, right? But, okay, like, listen, if we want them to be champions, if we think, and it does, if you look at this, if the Royals, and that series is tied one game apiece, but the Padres have a 2-1 advantage, the Mets have the 2-1 advantage, so if the Guardians are the only division winner to go into the playoffs, how is this not set up for you? Well, the game like today is proof that before we get to that and do that math, you got to do this one. This is the game you take care of because it's a game in front of you.
All right, only because you brought history back into play here, I do want to play with it for a second. The last time we saw them in this spot, you mentioned 2022. If we're putting the bulk of the roster that still exists from that team is on this team. Game 5 came and went. Are you just putting that at the feet of Savali, or are you putting that at the feet of the guys that were there? Because it's not like J-Ram was great in that series.
I don't think the margins for that series are... The way people talk about that series is that the Yankees kicked your ass. It went 5 games.
Oh, it was 5 games, but that fifth game is what we're talking about. Backs up against the wall in that moment. You want to tell me it's all on Savali and that's it because he got the start in Game 5?
No.
And maybe that might be something that we, in hindsight, look back and say... Oh, boy, Shane Bieber really probably should have had that start. Then I'll listen to that.
We just can't do that because the bats went cold for 2 straight games there. Or, well, 3 straight games,
and sometimes that is just baseball. But, well, we're taking this to a different angle here, I think, at least. I think the Tigers, I don't know that it's about the bats being cold or anything like that with the 3 hits. I think it's how they respond to them getting knocked down, essentially.
Well, and I agree with you. But, I just think, like, this team is built to win as a team. You don't have a Skubal. That's fine. Bybee is good enough to win. Like, even in this game, you've got a guy who's been here. I don't care that Alex Cobb's stuff isn't what it was 11 years ago when he faced off against Danny Salazar in the one-game playoff. I don't care. You've got experience. You've got a guy who conceivably could go 3 or 4 innings today, even though he's not maybe ramped up full tilt, to use the term. So, like... I just look at this and go...
Well, that wasn't used right, but go ahead.
No, that never will be, because I don't play poker. But I do look at this and
you
I go...
so much confidence.
Like, it's so funny. Well, that's how you do it. So it's not a lie if you really believe it, right? Yeah. I think we've learned that in 2024, and 2023, and 2022, and 2021. But no, I mean, I just think that this team wins as a team. And so that does give me confidence that they're going to respond in kind today, even if they fall behind, because I think that's what to look for today. Because the one thing is we haven't – okay, yeah, they technically were behind in the bottom of the ninth inning. That's not – when you're down 3-0 and you don't have Kwan, Hosey, and Naylor coming up, that's not conducive to you erasing a 3-run lead.
I'm with you. It's basically been wire to wire.
Yeah. And so I think that's the next test. Today's the test of – okay, you lost a game that sucked the wind out of you. All right, so did the Tigers in Game 1. Cool. Now, how do you respond? But the other thing is, if for whatever reason you fall behind in this, you have to... That's something that I thought the Guardians did really poorly in August and even parts of September. When they got down, you could see them tighten up at the plate. You can't do that. You got 27 outs. Go remember that you have 27 outs, and there are times to swing for the fences. There are times to put it in shallow right field just to advance everybody and keep another out off the board. So I love this setup because, again, like, will I be happy if they lose? Absolutely not. Well, I'll be crestfallen if they lose this series because I think the story is to be written.
Detroit, for sure.
Detroit's not the only... Everyone should feel this way.
Everything's in front of you right now.
Well, but for
that's
everyone.
That's the beautiful thing. No, for both teams.
If you're a Royals fan, everything's in front of you. If you're a Yankees fan...
If you're a Detroit sports tacos, you're already starting to plan the parade.
My boy, Jim Costa, and it's
he
not
was
his fault.
On one.
Okay, so he's on one, and I love that. I love that kind of blind hubris, just not when he's talking to me.
I mean, to be fair, they haven't really done the postseason thing for a decade.
Yeah, well, but...
They don't really know what they're doing in that regard at this point.
I got to call some names here with Terrick Scott. Scooble, who was on with my boy Jim Costa this morning. At some point in this hour, we're getting this. But getting back to it, like, I'm not looking at this going, yay, let's lose. But I am looking at this saying, I've spent 6 months. 6 months is heavy. I've spent 4 months thinking you can win the World Series.
Yeah, yeah.
Games like today are the one that decide whether you do and whether you don't.
Show us what you got here.
Well, and it has nothing to do with who's the hotter team coming into it. It does sometimes matter who's the better team, better team.
I do think an off day helped a lot for the Guardians.
Yes.
I think if you had played that game back-to-back after Class A and how that went down with Kerry Carpenter, I think that would have been a lot tougher than getting the day off to go travel to Detroit.
And we've put this so much on, you got to avoid a Game 5, that I think we have to – this isn't even about Scooble to me. You do have an opportunity here because of the depth of pitching that you have, specifically in the bullpen, which Detroit is a little more shallow than you.
Yeah.
If you can get that win today, and if Cobb can give you another Boyd performance, give him 5 innings quality, if you can do that and you can get on board early and you take this game, there is no reason, other than the fact it's in Detroit, that you can't take tomorrow and take this series and we avoid the Game 5.
Well, they got a bullpen game as well themselves. I mean, Montero's the other guy that they've flirted with, at least being a number two at times this year, but I would think he's probably set up for the same thing that Cobb is set up for today.
216-474-0092. Nick Wilson, Jonathan Peterlin here. We got a big show for you today. We are all Gardos until 3 o'clock. Then we got Ron Rivera, former NFL head coach. He's going to be on the call of Westwood One's Thursday night football game. You're going to hear right here on 92.3. The Fan tomorrow. I have to keep reminding myself it's not Thursday yet, but 49er Seahawks. We got Todd Blackledge. He's going to be on Ohio State, Oregon this weekend. He's at 3:40. Ross Tucker, our usual at 4 o'clock, still hasn't followed me on TikTok. Not that I'm mad about that. And we got Albert Breer coming up at 5:20. I have been banned. A video of mine has been censored by TikTok. We'll get to that. We've got Prime Day. We got some Brown stuff here, but how do you expect the Guardians to respond to being punched in the face in Game 2? Is this another, you're more nervous than excited, or are you more excited than nervous? That and the Matthew Boyd litmus test for Alex Cobb next on 92.3 The Fan. If we're getting you ready for Game 3, did we do a vibe check? I know we set up the question, which is basically, how do you expect the Guardians to respond to being punched in the face? But I do think a vibe check is in order.
I don't know that we want to do a vibe check.
Is it because your vibes are down?
My vibes are not. They're not great. I want them to be high. I really do. I can't find it in me right now.
My vibes are up.
So, well, I told you, I listened to too much Detroit sports talk radio. It poisoned my brain.
Oh, no. See,
my brain is poisoned right now. They're doing the OEO Maglio, and they're bringing back the 06 calls from when they took him to the World Series, and I just can't right now.
I think half the people doing that.
The way they built up the Kerry Carpenter home run was insane.
Half the people that are doing that didn't have hair on their peaches when Maglio hit that. Like, I can't take you seriously if you were.
It was 2006.
If you were prepubescent, it's 20 years ago. You're riding a wave on 20 years ago that has nothing to do with what's going on now. I'm not sitting here talking about, let me tell you guys, it's the ghost of Grady Sizemore.
They were debating whether or not it was the most important home run in Tigers history.
I remember when I had my first beer is all I'm going to say there. All right? Let's just be honest with you. I've been here before. All right?
Okay.
I expect to win today because that's what good teams do. And if you don't win, that's fine. You're answering the question. But right now, this is the opportunity. You don't chase, I just used this off air, you don't throw good money away with bad, right? You're not chasing game two. That game's over. And it's game three. And I actually think this is where their mentality of compartmentalizing every single game helps you.
Yeah, I just listened to too many people tell me how the Guardians are terrified and they're scared and this was a monumental moment in Detroit sports history. And then you turn on and it's like, oh, the Lions are winning games. The Tigers are winning games. Like, Kansas City and Detroit right now are like these two hotbed for sports. And I'm kind of peeved that the Browns stink at the moment and the Guardians then blew that game. I need a Gardo's win is what I need.
I think you're going to get it. I actually think the next two games set up perfectly for you. You have the more proven, venerable starter on the bump. I think your bullpen is deeper. I think their bullpen being a little more shallow hurts them more tomorrow than it does today.
They have a good bullpen, though. It's not a bad bullpen. It's a good bullpen.
And I think that you saw that in game one. But because, again, like once Olsen settled down after giving up the 3-run home run, all of a sudden you went scoreless for a very long time. What was that, 5 innings in between scoring?
Yeah.
But I just think, like, And I'll be honest with you, today, like, I think this idea the pressure's on the Guardians is right until it's not. Like, I think the thing, we do this thing where the pressure's on one team and going into the game, so it stays on that. I don't think that's how it works. I think the pressure might be on the Guardians going into this game, but then it becomes who scores first.
I agree with that. It could change by the first inning. It could change. Do you think it's weird that in this series so far, we basically have had, like you mentioned, the two runs later in the first game, but we had the five-run first inning, and then we had the three-run ninth inning. We basically have had all the damage done in a span of two big innings.
I think that's who these two offenses are. Like, I think that's...
Okay.
In a way, there is a part of me that thinks, all right, so I don't know you're going to learn a lot by beating Detroit if you end up beating Detroit. I think what you learn is, oh, you're ready for this moment. You're the better team. You didn't cede the advantage to the lesser team or the less talented team. But you're so stylistically similar that I do think...
You are.
Like,
it's like the Spider-Man meme pointing at each other,
yeah,
for sure.
And again, I think you're like the...
And today's game is kind of like that. I know we get excited about the idea of having what is supposed to be a starter out there in Alex Cobb, but... Who's expecting him to go anything more than what Montero is going to go?
I mean, come on.
One time through?
No.
Third, fourth inning?
No, because I think you would have said the same thing about Boyd, and I think...
He made it into the fifth, barely.
Barely, but it's 4 2/3. That's not barely.
I thought it was 4 1/3. I'm sorry.
Wait, am I wrong?
I don't know.
Am I shorting him a third? I think you're shorting him a third.
I might be shorting him a third.
I can't believe you'd short him a third like that.
He must be very insulted.
It's not no Boyd.
He needs every third that he can get.
But I do think, like... I think what's interesting about this game is I think that Stephen Vogt has said and showed you with Matthew Boyd, who, again, Matthew Boyd in his two or three last starts was going an inning and a third, an inning and two-thirds, two innings at best during the regular season. And all of a sudden, Vogt kind of flipped the switch and said, you're rolling. Even let him kind of get out of his own trouble.
I look at Cobb and Boyd very differently.
Cobb's better.
He's supposed to be, yes.
Yeah, not supposed to be. He was better.
He's supposed to be, but I've seen him throw three games in a Guardians uniform, and I haven't seen him pitch in 5 weeks, and he's 37 years old. Like, it's a bad combo for me, Nick. It's a bad combo for me.
I think I figured out you're living in your fears, and that's okay.
I know I am.
That's okay. That's what playoff baseball.
What other person would seek out Detroit Sports Talk Radio to then just listen to him for hours on end talk about how that was like the most monumental home run in the entire existence of the franchise?
I told you,
my brain is poisoned right now.
Wait, because I listened to my boy Jim Costin and his partner John Jansen today, but I listened to him talking to Dan Campbell and Tark Skubal. They were doing that today?
No, I heard it yesterday.
Okay. I was wondering, because I was like, if they're still talking about that home run today, they're going to lose loser mentality.
It was the whole show.
All right.
No, I went back because I heard a different afternoon host in Detroit talk about how Costa was saying how Classe is easily to get after now, and he's broke, and he's all these things. And I was trying to find it. I'm like, all right, this will be good content for our show today. And then, alas, I just ran into a bunch of Detroit callers talking about how scared the Guardians are and how we have bad body language after we lose games.
This actually kind of is right where I want to be. Like, I think the Guardians are still the underdogs in a lot of people's eyes, because very few people acknowledge that the Guardians were the better regular season team, because apparently that washes out. 162 is washed out by the final 30, apparently. Across baseball, logic just goes out the window.
Yeah,
but like stylistically, apparently. Okay, you're the same team, but they're the little brother in this exchange. But I love that I love that people are sleeping on the Guardians a bit, because I think that's the series.
Yeah, you're a pig in slop right now, like you're in heaven, because that's exactly what happened after game two.
Good, exactly. That's where it should be, because that is a form of pressure. Everybody keeps acting like the Tigers are playing with house money. No, they're not, because people have expectations for them. They've been talked about more than anyone else.
I like that, because I do think they came into the series with house money, but after you win a game the way that you won a game like that, you tell Tigers fans that they're not going to the ALCS after this series. I tell you, they'll be disappointed. I like that spin.
And they wrote a check with how they acted in game two. I'm not mad about it, by the way. You hit the walk-off home run off the best closer in baseball by a wide margin. Like, you get to do that. But Kerry Carpenter was Tommy Toughnuts the entire damn, both in the
takes
game,
his
in
helmet
the moment.
Off, rounding third. Yep. He's got the Bryce Harper headband thing
on. You don't do that in game two. All right, that's a I remember my first beer moment. And Tarik Skubal, oh, I'm gonna flex, bro. You control two games out of five games. Your ass might not even see this thing again. So like, no, true. Good. Let them talk the mess. Let them be emotional, boisterous little boys. That's cool. I'll sit back. I've got the more aged team by like a year. I've got the more aged team. This team is not just content winning a playoff game. They want to win a playoff series. They want to win multiple playoff series. We have higher aspirations than, oh gosh, we're just lucky to be here and we just hit a three-run bomb. Cool. Let everybody hype you up because it is rat poison. When everybody is dusting your ass, this is what I honestly kind of think this is kind of what the Guardians ran into or have run into at points, certainly in 2022, where all of a sudden it got hard and they're like, oh, wait, but everybody said we're great. And I think that's the toughest thing about being young in the playoffs is rat poison is real in baseball because of the space in between games.
In 2022, you can make an argument that we did everything that you're accusing the Tigers of doing right now.
I feel like I'm talking the back to the light.
Rocking the baby with Josh Naylor.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Like, and then you saw it come back to bite us in the butt, did it not?
Yep. Be loud. Be loud as you want to be. I don't care. Now, it's going to make me hate you a little bit, but that's good. That's what this is supposed to be. Like, somebody's got to be. What I think is wild about this is right now, you know, somebody's got to be the face. Somebody's got to be the good guy. But that changes within a series. And so this is a kind of game, you had a great game two, you walked it off. It was one third of an inning. That's what separates you from not being here and being down 2-0 trying to save your season. So think you accomplished something. No, that's awesome, because that's what makes the playoffs the playoffs. But just remember, you got a game today. And they got another one tomorrow. And then
and the quick turnaround around this too. I mean, you can get after it really, really quick. I love the idea of the Guardians being able to go into this game, and then like if they win this game, there's not a person in any other advanced series that we have, ALCS, World Series, whatever it ends up being, where you can be like, oh, well, they backs against the wall, they got pressure, and we'll see how they respond. It's like, no, this would be the response.
Yeah.
After how game two ended, this would be the response.
Well, and again, there's going to be. It's gonna be. I actually disagree. I think there's gonna be moments like this in every series, and those are the ones that turn you into the Texas Rangers. Whether it's a big hit, and I think today you could use
there'll be pressurized moments, but they will have shown us that they can respond to that.
Well, but I think every opportunity is. I don't think it's once you've done it once. No, I think you learn about a team when you face this kind of scenario three or four times. Which, if you go to the dance and if you're on the cusp of winning the World Series. You will get three or four of these. You'll get three or four games. And that 20, okay, to put it back to 2016, since we're celebrating things over a decade ago, it's under a decade ago. But if we're going to do that, you passed every test until you just ran out of steam. And so I think that's an important perspective, is you celebrate a lot. Celebrate as much as you want. That's cool. But take it one game at a time. And I think this game is a great opportunity to show your championship material. Tom and Aurora joining us now. Tom, welcome to the show. Vibe check. How you feeling about the Guardians ahead of game two?
Tom?
No, not all at once, Tom.
Wait, save yourself, Tom.
Tom, is this a life alert situation? Are we okay?
It's a big day, Tom.
You know what? I think you know, if you have somebody named Tom in Aurora, a relative, I would just do a safety check on them real quick there, because I'm worried a little bit about our boy Tom there. I think today is about Jose Ramirez. And I think
that was a great transition.
Going right into it.
Yeah. Check the life alert. It's about Jose Ramirez. Yeah.
Speaking of, life alert on Jose Ramirez.
Can we put a wellness check on our boy Jose?
I think how Jose looked against Skubal shook some people. It shouldn't. That's an ace. It also happened to push Jose to the right side, where I think we both know it's a little more lethal from the left side. So if it is Montero today, I think we all assume it is, if it is Montero, you're probably going to get a righty in this game first. Let's see Jose. Let's see Jose have his big moment, because that's what the money's for, right?
Yeah, and I think he's taken on a lot of harsh criticism. I just remember in the World Series in 2016, it's a long time ago, obviously. I thought it was him and Lindor that really kind of got everything going in a lot of scenarios. Obviously, Kipnis in game four at Wrigley was a big deal. But there was a lot of big hits by Jose in the World Series when it felt like in that series, a lot of the bats went quiet. So we've seen him do it on big stages. I don't know why everyone's wrapping themselves around with the idea that over time, maybe he hasn't been the biggest contributor, because he's got it in him. We all know he's got it in him.
I think it's probably just looking at the full thing. You know what I mean? It's looking, well, coming into this. He was hitting 242. I agree with you, though. Like, he has shown it. But this run specifically, you're seeing it. Well, you're seeing it with Bobby Witt. I can't remember which game I'm thinking about, but Bobby Witt getting on base or being responsible for every run on the board early in that Kansas City.
The first series.
Yeah, Kansas City versus who was the other damn team in the playoffs? Baltimore.
Orioles.
Thank you. Good God. But that
took us way too long on that.
That was I'm old. but no, I mean, that was a moment where Bobby Witt showed you, okay, here's who I am. Here's what I am. You don't have to do it every game, but there are certain games that are weighted a little bit more. Hosey being the guy that drives you, like, you're not going to get out of the series and you're not going to win a World Series unless Hosey really balls out. And I think this is the game. This is the game. All right, Scooble was there, ace in the hole, matter of fact.
And we talk about life alert, though. The offense has to show us life. After a three-hit performance, they got to come to life.
Well, but that's Hosey. Like, that's I love Lane Thomas now. Not like 6 weeks ago, but I love Lane Thomas now. I love Kwan, and Kwan's a huge part of this, too. Love Naylor. Hosey's the guy that does it. And this is that moment for him as well. 216-474-0092. Don, Travis, you guys stick there. How quick of a hook do you have on Alex Cobb today? Do you give him as much leeway as Matthew Boyd? Yeah, Boyd! And I will say, Tarik Skubal finally crossed me, and not for the reason that you think. That's next on 92.3 The Fan. Now, I think you treat him like Matthew Boyd. I think as long as Alex Cobb is in the pocket today, as long as he is locked in, I'm not as concerned about this as if it were a Tanner Bibee, as if it were just a Gavin Williams. Gavin, I think this is a great opportunity to see, can you steal an extra couple innings here? Because I don't think that just has a big impact tomorrow. I think it grows your faith for a future series should you make it that far.
Right, but like Savali in Game 5 against the Yankees a couple years ago, you have to be able to understand that if he doesn't have it, he doesn't have it.
Well, yeah.
And I'm a little worried. I mean, he's 37 years old. I'm just going to keep throwing his age out there because that's a thing for me.
I'm going to need you to get on the Cobb Express.
I'm having a hard time. You've watched him pitch three games in a Guardians uniform.
Were they really good?
He hasn't pitched in 5 weeks. Not all of them are really good. He had two good ones, one bad one.
So 66% of the time, I'm not trying to, I am absolutely polishing something here.
He hasn't pitched in 5 weeks, and he's our game three starter. In any world, did you ever envision a spot where your game three starter would be a guy that had three starts in a Guardians uniform, 37 years old, and hasn't pitched in 5 weeks?
I was the guy that said I would be comfortable if Alex Cobb started game one. This was like with 2 weeks to go when he first went on the IL. But yeah, I mean, I'm comfortable with Alex Cobb. And now the question is, to what extent? Like, this is, and I think what's interesting is,
I think you got to read the signs quick.
Okay, that's a good generalized point, but like, can you be more specific?
Well,
about,
so like, if he's dealing, then let the man cook. You know, like if he looks like Boyd and he's into the fourth inning and you're like, all right, well, we're starting to get a little bit there. But then into the fifth, it's like, all right, now's the time we definitely have to do this. Like, if you can steal 4 or 5 innings with him, where he does exactly what Boyd did, awesome, great. I'm not expecting that, though.
Did you just?
I said let him cook.
Okay, I just want to make sure you didn't set up the whole thing just so you could say let him cook. I don't.
No, it's been my phrase of the day. Everything's been let him cook today.
He even said to Charlotte at home.
Yeah.
Hey, sweetie, it's Coco Melon. Let him cook. Give it a second.
Miss Rachel.
Yeah.
Let her cook. She's gonna get after
Miss
it.
Miss Rachel can cook. Let's just all be honest about this. Listen, I don't. I'll be honest with you. I do think you're driving at something that is fair, which is I don't know what expectations to have for Alex Cobb other than he's a veteran. He's probably got the third best stuff in the rotation behind Gavin, clearly, then Bibee. I don't think he's that far. I know he's not who he was 11 years ago. Well, yeah. He's 37 and he's had some injuries. But this was a guy who a year ago, before the injury, was an all-star caliber pitcher. And a guy who, even though he hasn't pitched for 5 games, you saw that insane pitch ability of him that he has in all 3 games. It's just the 2 games, he was clearly much better than the 3rd game. So as long as the blisters are not any bit of an issue, I don't see why he can't give you a real chance to win this game. I do see a significant advantage to getting those 4 innings out of him.
For sure.
I don't think, listen, if Matthew Boyd, who has probably, I don't know the worst stuff as the starters. Is that fair?
It's fair.
Like, and again, he still, like, he does have a fastball that can reach 95. It's usually about 93. But like, I like if you give him 4 2/3 innings, and I think they gave him some wiggle room, like you gave him some opportunities where he could have gotten into more trouble and let him work himself out. I hear what you're saying, and I don't think you're altogether wrong. That's not what I'm saying. But I think you have to go in, if you're Steven Vogt, with an open mind of like, let's see, let's give him a chance. Because if anybody can bounce back, if he does get into a sticky wicket, it's this dude.
It's just an area of unknown. That's all. He could come out and look great. I hope he comes out and looks great.
You're living in your fears.
Well, I got another fear that I added to the equation in between the mix. Do you want me to weigh this one? I think you're gonna swat this one away. I don't think you're going to buy into this one.
Well, real quick, let's get to Travis and Hudson, because he is also unconfident in Cobb. Travis, welcome to the show, buddy.
Boys, how we doing?
Doing very well. Go Guards. Vibe check now.
Oh, well, I'm expecting a huge day out of the offense. Hosey and the boys yesterday, or on Monday's performance. I hate blaming the umpires. If you're going to be bad, just be consistently bad. And I think it just really hurts when you see David Fry go down striking three in the ninth. But I expect a big day of the offense, and I think you nailed the nail on the head with Taylor today. He's going to go probably 4 or 5. The boys are going to be swinging it well in Motown. Go Guards.
Look at that, Travis. On it. The liner there said not confident in Cobb.
Sounded pretty confident in Cobb. That was more confident in the offense than it was.
Okay.
Can I live in that area? I want to live in that area. Where it's like, I just think the offense is going to be so good, and that's what we're going to have. Jose's going to have a big day. Naylor's going to have a big day. And then we just won't even have to worry about Cobb. And he can have a 1 earned run outing, 2 earned runs through 3 innings. And then we get him in and we get him out.
Sounds like you're negotiating with the sports gods right now.
I mean, I'm bartering. Can we get me something good here, please?
Right, what if I give you like an Achilles of a certain quarterback in the NFL? I'm actually talking about Aaron Rodgers, you guys. Come on. Right, what I got Max Strus's hip. What do we think about this?
I would never sell Max Strus's hip. Black market?
What about George Niang? What about the minivan?
Yeah, we can barter with Niang.
So, I hear you. I think you're living in your fears. Super excited.
I've admitted. Well, I'm excited. Mm. You get to be excited while living in your fears. I'm also,
Sounds like hell. Like,
welcome to my
I'm
life.
I'm super excited, but I'm also incredibly anxious.
Have you met
We're
me?
We're excited about it. Just are.
I have more energy than Mike Tomlin does, okay? I have more energy than Tomlin does.
We're better than the 1-15 Cleveland Browns.
No,
way to go.
That's my existence as a human, is constantly excited about things while also dreading them happening. That's me.
So for you, this today is about the offense.
If you're going to win the game, it's got to be about the offense.
I think it's got to be about Hosey, but I think you dance with the one you brought. And that's I butchered the hell out of that phrase.
You got it.
But it is the truth. Like, the thing that has won you games is being able to fall back on just enough starting pitching and an elite performance from the bullpen and just enough hitting. And I think today does offer that, because you're going to get enough looks at different pitchers. And you've seen some of these guys already, and I think that offers you the ability to kind of go up there and play your game. I just think the number one thing it can't have is be too aggressive. And I think we have seen them walk that line even as late as September, even though it peaked in August.
They got to come out swinging. There's no doubt about it.
Wait, so that means swinging for the fences, or what are we talking about here?
Yeah, we're going for the fences.
So you're going,
ball
like,
goes
call
far,
your
team
shot.
Goes far, come
Jake
on.
Jake Taylor pointing to right field and then throwing down a bunt?
Yeah, what's
no
that?
Bunts.
No bunts.
I swear, if you bunt.
We sent Tito to Cincinnati. Come on, no bunts.
So we'll have more on the Guardians game. Game 3 coming up, obviously, guys, up in Detroit. But Ron Rivera, former NFL head coach, he's going to be on the call of Thursday Night Football tomorrow on Westwood 1 right here on 92.3 The Fan. Alongside Kevin Kugler, we'll get his thoughts on the drama machine churning out more stories from Berea next on 92.3 The Fan.